Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Sarah Dowdy.
And I'm Dublina Chakraborty.
And every now and then we talk about how we came up with one of our ideas or what made us feel like we wanted to cover a certain subject.
Mm-hmm. We do that a lot.
I guess we do. We do that a lot. Usually it's a listener suggestion, but this one is a little bit different. And I'm sure you have these too, Dublina, where you read a book or watch a movie or even watch a TV show and you come away with a podcast idea.
Sure.
So this is one of those cases. Earlier this summer, I was watching the 1956 John Wayne film, The Searchers. And just to give a little background on it, it's a movie about a man who's returned to his brother's Texas home a few years after the Civil War, but soon sees most of his family killed in a Comanche raid. And I'm not going to give away any spoilers, even though this movie is almost 60 years old. But after the raid, he becomes really obsessed with finding his kidnapped niece, even though it soon becomes clear he'd rather see her dead than assimilated with her kidnappers. It's a very disturbing premise. I mean, there are numerous disturbing parts of the movie, but that one in particular is upsetting. And when I started reading about the film, I realized that some critics had pointed out similarities to that story and to the book that it was based on. And the real-life 1836 kidnapping of a 9-year-old Texas girl named Cynthia Ann Parker.
Yeah, and Cynthia Ann's story is particularly remarkable. It's a double tragedy marked by 2 captures, but we thought it would be a great way to look at the Plains Indians Wars on a more personal level, especially since it opens the door to the story of her son, Quanah Parker, the last Comanche chief. So just as Cynthia Ann's life centered on displacement and not really fitting in, Quanah's is about excelling in 2 very different worlds, trying to mediate between them and encouraging peace among his people without sacrificing all of his culture. So it's kind of why we had to pack it into 2 episodes
here. It is. And in this first episode, it's going to focus more on Cynthia Ann and the background and how these wars started in the first place. And then the second episode is going to focus on their end and on Quanah's life, bridging those two worlds. So fortunately, though, we've spoken so much in the past year about frontier life and settlement in Texas and, of course, Indian Territory in what's now Oklahoma.
My favorite place.
Devlina's favorite place to define. that I think most listeners probably feel like they have a good background on this time already. But just to give you just a little bit of information, in the 1830s, as Eastern Native American tribes were being forcibly resettled in the West on lands that were traditionally controlled by Plains Indians, and as Anglo settlers pushed west, the nomadic Plains tribes were feeling hemmed in. I mean, it still seems like a lot of land, but they were used to covering huge amounts, hunting, and were really feeling the stress on their resources at this point.
Some bands ended up assimilating, dying out, or entering reservations, but others retaliated, carrying out violent raids on settlers to frighten them back east and to defend their land. So in this struggle, which lasted about 40-some-odd years, the Comanche were considered the best at this. They were hard to trace, they were masters on horseback, and they were seemingly able to survive on nothing and then just kind of disappear into their vast, inhospitable lands called the Comancheria. And they were just a force to be reckoned with.
They were, yeah. I mean, that what you just mentioned, Devlina, about them disappearing, that was a big part of it. Even when you have the U.S. military involved, you have the cavalry involved, they just have a lot of trouble finding them most of the time. But our story starts with a Comanche, a Kiowa, and a Caddo raid on Fort Parker, which was a family compound in a fort that had been settled in 1830 by the extended Parker family. And it was great land, very prime land, right at the headwaters of the Navasota River in Texas. But also in a dangerous part of the world. It was way, way out on the frontier. And in May of 1836, somebody didn't take the proper precautions and left the fort door open when the men went off to work on with the animals and on the property. And the war party easily entered through that open fort door, quickly killed three Parker family members and two other men, and kidnapped some of the others. 9-year-old Cynthia Ann was with her mother and her 6-year-old brother John and a group of women and children who were trying to flee the fort through a meadow when they were stopped by a warrior named Peta Nokana and taken from there.
So in addition to Cynthia Ann and her brother, some of the people from their family who were kidnapped included Rachel Parker Plummer and her son, James. Rachel Parker Plummer was Cynthia Ann's cousin.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
In addition, Rachel's aunt, Elizabeth, was also kidnapped, and the family was abused, but they were eventually, all of them, including John Parker, who wasn't returned until the 1840s, they were all eventually ransomed back, except for Cynthia Ann.
Except for Cynthia Ann, and consequently, she became something of a legend on the frontier with her mother and her uncle, and I imagine her extended family really desperate to find her, with newspapers romanticizing the idea of her as this beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed captive growing up among the Comanche, really sort of it gets pretty strange, especially as she gets older, the things written about her. And according to Jan Reed in Texas Monthly, she even became kind of a warning tale for kids. You know, don't wander too far from home or you might end up like Cynthia Ann. But by the mid-1840s, all this speculative stuff turned into actual sightings. There started to finally be real sightings of her, because they weren't very sure she was alive at this point. There hadn't been reports of a child who looked like her until the mid-1840s. And as it later turned out, she had just been living a normal Comanche life. She'd been adopted by Comanche parents and raised as their daughter.
Yeah, not just that. She also went on to marry her captor, the war chief Petanalkina, and had 2 sons with him, Quanah, which means fragrant or odor. I think it's sort of up for debate.
And sometimes even stink. Kind of a contentious definition.
And the second son was Peanut, who was named after Cynthia Ann's favorite childhood snack. And they later had a daughter named Totsia, or Prairie Flower. And Cynthia Ann even had a new name herself. It was Nadwa, meaning she carries herself with grace, or someone found.
Yeah, and we actually talked to Dr. Kenneth Day for this episode, who kindly helped us out with some of the Comanche pronunciations. He heads up the Learn Comanche Project, and we were asking about that one because I just kept on seeing these wildly different definitions. I mean, clearly fragrant and odor kind of on the same level, but she carries herself with grace and someone found sounds so different. And he said that a lot of the translations are like that. Especially with these names, they're just all over the map. But most importantly about these reports coming back regarding Cynthia Ann were the accounts of her from about 1846 to 1852. And that was that her people refused all offers to ransom her back. And she didn't seem to want to go anyway. So it was you can't have her. We want to keep her. She's one of us.
And she won't go.
And she won't go. And as snatches of all this information came back to the settlers, of course, Lucy Parker, Cynthia Ann's mother, was thrilled to know her daughter was just alive and sent out her teenage son to search for her. But not everybody was very happy with the news that was coming back. And in fact, to a lot of people, it was just incomprehensible news. For one thing, that she would marry this notorious raider, Petah Nakana, and be happy with him. I mean, people didn't seem to blame her for what was happening, but they were not happy that she was happy, that she might actually prefer life as a Comanche instead of life as a settler.
Yeah, so a very controversial choice, very controversial life. And there were other reports that kind of hinted at her life, at Cynthia Ann's life and the life of the Comanche who were still fighting. By the early 1850s, some Comanche bands were settling on reservations and others resisted pretty successfully, considering the frontier was creeping back from where it had been in Cynthia Ann's childhood. And according to the sightings, Cynthia Ann, Petah Nakana, and their family were clearly jumping bands, moving away from the frontier to maintain a free life and to keep on fighting. Eventually, they joined the Quahadis, who were considered the toughest Comanche band out of all of them. But from 1852, no further reports were heard from her.
And that's how it stayed until late 1860, when a Quahadi war party led by Nakana entered Texas. And again, the purpose of this raid was to frighten settlers into abandoning the area. And according to Gregory Minchno in Wild West, this 1860 raid became a particularly notable one in Texas for three reasons. One, it was especially brutal. We're going to go over a few details on that, but not into the full list. The next was that Cynthia Ann came along, and then the third was that Cynthia Ann was recaptured. I mean, that's really why this raid in particular gets discussed so frequently. But the attacks on settlers began November 26th at the home of James Landman. Mrs. Landman and her six-year-old son were murdered. One teenage girl was dragged from a horse, then killed. The raid continued at a pretty fast clip at the Gage home, the Sanders home, where, among others, a baby and a 65-year-old woman were murdered. Then it took kind of a surprising turn, at least direction-wise. The party moved south to Parker County, which is, of course, the same Parker that is Cynthia Ann's family.
Right, and we should maybe have put in a little warning here. It continues to get kind of violent, so if you're squeamish about this kind of stuff, you may want to skip ahead a little bit. But just continuing on with the raid, some houses were raided and ransacked, and the inhabitants spared. Others, though, were targeted, like that of Ezra and Martha Sherman. While the raiders let Ezra and the children go, they raped, scalped, and had their horses trample Martha Sherman, who lived 4 days more to deliver a stillborn child. Some fended off the attack, like the Eubanks girls, who dressed in boys' clothing and took up really intimidating-looking positions at the pike.
Yeah, so just a mix of things, and it seemed to be all over the place what happened to the various families. But all told, the war party left with more than 300 horses, having killed seven white settlers and wounding more. And just a point on the numbers, too. I mean, it's really more about inspiring horror than killing loads and loads of people. That was what this type of warfare was about. It was about trying to completely shock people into leaving and abandoning these lands they were trying to settle, so that the Comanche could reclaim their land. We mentioned Cynthia Ann was with the war party, and while we can't know exactly what her position was with it, and whether she even recognized Parker County, her childhood home, Minchno does describe that, or does mention that Comanche society didn't consider raids to be men-only affairs. He wrote, almost everyone in Comanche society, including women and children, participated in a raid, either logistically or socially. And that might just mean women helping manage the camps or load up all of the stolen items. But sometimes there were even female warriors.
James Pollard, one of the men who had stolen horses, quickly started rounding up a posse to pursue the raiders. They gave up after 2 days of chase because they found that some settlers were already packing up to leave. Others of them were, quote, forded up. So,
well, and I think the posse just, they realized they weren't going to make it. They weren't going to catch up with them.
So a couple weeks later, two ranger companies, Ranger Captain Lawrence Ross and 21 men from the 2nd Cavalry, arrived to join in with their pursuit. All told, there were about 140 men and Tonkawa scouts who sent out to track Petanakana. And it was Charles Goodnight who found the trail that headed to the Peace River. And on December 19th, a recent camp with the body of one of the stolen children was found, too.
And when the rangers and the cavalry approached the camp, they saw women dismantling it, packing up, and it was mostly women and children at the camp. At that point, the ranger captain charged, and the cavalry circled around the back of the camp. And according to Goodnight, who was pretty horrified by what happened there, he said that the cavalry captain killed every woman trying to flee, quote, almost in a pile.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
Ross in particular took off after Cynthia Ann. He didn't recognize her as this long-lost 9-year-old captive. Of course, she was in her 30s by this point. She grabbed Prairie Flower, her young daughter, wrapped herself up in a buffalo robe, and hopped onto a horse riding bareback, you know, full charge ahead. And but Ross was eventually gaining on her, and before Ross could shoot, she turned around, exposed Prairie Flower, and yelled, "Americano, Americano." And Ross captured her. He brought her back to one of his men and then rode off to pursue and kill a warrior. And this is kind of an interesting point. We're going to talk about it a little more in a minute. But he later insisted that this warrior was Petanakana. But like I said, we're going to talk about that more in a minute. The raid was just a complete massacre. 5 warriors were killed. 9 women and children were killed. 3 women and children were captured. But the focus was really on Cynthia Ann once they realized that this particular prisoner of theirs had blue eyes. You know, they were all wondering, okay, who is this lady? If you read their accounts, they pretty much all claim they were the first one to recognize her as white, for one thing, and then as Cynthia Ann, or suggest it. But Goodnight has a point that's a little more tragic, or certainly is tragic, and maybe has something to do with his later friendship with Cynthia Ann's son, but he seemed to think a little bit about how she was experiencing this situation at the time. He wrote, "We rode right over her dead companions. I thought then and still think how exceedingly cruel it was."
Isaac Parker, Cynthia Ann's uncle who lived near Fort Worth, was called in to try to help identify her. According to a neighbor who saw the meeting, Cynthia Ann, quote, "sat for a time immovable, lost in profound meditation, oblivious to everything by which she was surrounded, ever and anon convulsed, as if it were by some powerful emotion which she struggled to suppress." So Parker tried to ask her questions in English, but she didn't respond. He finally said, quote, "If this is my niece, her name is Cynthia Ann," at which point she beat her chest, stood up, pointed to herself, and said, "Cincy Ann."
So she recognized her own name. And unsurprisingly, considering that she'd been gone almost 25 years from life as a Texas settler, this was not a happy reunion. You know, she didn't identify herself, and then they all embrace and live happily ever after. One of the main reasons is because she likely thought that her husband and sons were both dead. And this gets back to what I was talking about a minute ago, Ross's claim that he killed Nakana at Peace River. It was a claim that he touted for years afterward, really incorporated into his own legend. And when Cynthia Ann and Nakana's son, Quanah, grew up and entered into the public eye, Quanah always insisted that he and his brother had left with their father on a hunting trip 2 days before the attack. So his father had never been there. The boys had never been there. His father was clearly not killed. And he said that his father instead died a few years after. Some people, though, dispute that story, thinking that maybe it was one that Quanah put forward specifically to try to protect his father's memory, because Peace River was clearly seen as a disaster by the Comanche, and Nakana had been in charge of this raiding party. It's often suggested that if Nakana did live on for a few more years, he kept a remarkably low profile for somebody who had been so powerful, so important for so long.
And obviously so passionate about continuing his Comanche lifestyle.
Well, and passionate about his family, too. I mean, we should note Cynthia Ann was one of several wives, but by all accounts I've read, they had a very loving relationship. But one opinion to consider in all of this is that of Essequin, the author of Empire of the Summer Moon, who points that Cynthia Ann's reaction to the situation might tell us more than Quanah's, potentially.
Yeah, she was utterly distraught. She believed and said that her sons had been there. She really thought that they were dead, and that was something that she just continued to believe throughout her entire life.
Yeah, according to her neighbors, they said she gave no indication ever throughout her life that she thought her sons were still alive.
And as for the rest of the group that was part of this raid, Charles Goodnight and about 10 scouts managed to track the only two riders who'd managed to escape the fight. They tracked them about 100 miles to a larger Comanche camp. And though that they were only about 10 and 12 years old, respectively, Pina and Quanah would have had good basic survival and hunting skills to have made this sort of trek.
It was interesting to read a little bit about what kind of skills specifically boys that age would have had. And apparently they would have had better survival skills than the average Texan boy. But they wouldn't have been young warriors either. They might have been allowed to have participated in hunts for small game, but probably not anything large. Certainly not a raiding party like the one their father had been on. They would have been expert riders because, as we've already discussed, Comanche were all about horses. So they might have had enough knowledge to get by, but clearly they needed to find a camp of adults quickly, too. They wouldn't have ever been able to or been allowed to just wander away from camp. But we're going to pick up with more on Quanah and more on Cynthia Ann next time, since this is a two-parter episode. It's a pretty sad story with Cynthia Ann, a mixed bag, I'd say, with Quanah, but a pretty amazing story on his behalf, too, as a mediator and somebody who really found a way to excel in two cultures.
All right, so you have some listener mail to share, Sarah?
Yes, we do. And I picked this one because we were talking about Indian Territory again, and it reminded me of an email we got from listener Betsy and her class about Bass Reeves, maybe the last time we talked about Indian Territory in Oklahoma. But she wrote in to say, "Dear Dablina and Sarah, a few months ago I asked you for help with the sources for your Bass Reeves podcast." And I think, Dablina, you sent her a list of sources.
I did.
She went on to say, "The podcast and the sources led us to an entire unit on manliness and race to close out my Civil War lessons. My fourth graders absolutely love discussing the different parts of Reeves' life and deciding if they were manly, unmanly, or neutral. For our final closeout discussion, a few of them had some real zingers and deep thoughts. I wanted to share them with you. It is easily one of the times I was most proud of my little ones." So she just sent along a few questions that she'd asked her students and then a few of their answers. So we're going to read a few of these fourth grade responses. To her question, "Do you agree that Bass was, quote, one of the bravest men this country has ever known?" Her student Jonas wrote, "Yes, I agree that he is the manliest man ever because he tried to build a, quote, bridge from slavery and racism to an equal place to live. Equal as everybody is treated the same." Well, her student Andrew did not think so. He wrote, "No, because he was showing off for the people, like how he uses a gun." He thought that one was kind of funny. And then Rain was very impressed and wrote, "Yes, he was epic and a master of disguise because he was able to battle enemies." So there you go. She had another question, too, that was more about this building a bridge idea. And she wrote, "Do you agree that one of the manliest things a man can do is to build a bridge and legacy for others to follow?" And her student, Trevon, wrote that he kind of agreed and disagreed with it. He said the country should try to fix slavery by themselves, but it is the whole country's problem, not just Bass Reeves. He can take a break from being a hero, but if they can't, they could have some help. And then finally, Rain again said, "No, to save someone's life is more manly." So all kinds of interesting students, responses from her students, and very fun to hear. So thank you, Betsy. Thank you, fourth graders. And I'm glad you guys enjoyed learning about Bass Reeves so much.
Yeah, and we love the perspective that you have to offer, so thanks for that. If you guys have any thoughts on Bass Reeves, Indian Territory, or this podcast, any others that we've done, feel free to write to us. We are at historypodcast@discovery.com. You can also look us up on Facebook, and we're on Twitter at Mist in History.
And, of course, we have loads of articles on history and culture all on our website. You can look up those by visiting the tabs in those areas on our homepage at www.howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
From Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.